Well, good morning again. So, as I mentioned last week, the lectionary gospels have moved from recounting the time after Jesus' resurrection to time before that, and it can get a little bit confusing. So now we've gone back to the process by which Jesus is really, really preparing for his death and trying to prepare his disciples who still don't get it. So the wheels have been set in motion. Judas is ready and on his way to betraying him. And now Jesus is ready for glorification. In today's passage, he's addressing the disciples, so it makes sense to consider that this message is directed to us as disciples of Christ. When I read the gospel for today, I was especially drawn to understand and figure out and wonder about the difference between the commandment that proclaims to love your neighbor as yourself. And now in this different context, Jesus says, you're to love one another, greatly different. Jesus loved them. He loved them in a way that couldn't be duplicated, but in a way that was an icon for how he's returning to the Father, and that they can't come right now. They have to wait. And yes, we have to wait. We have waiting to do in this place. But the thing of it is when we're waiting, you don't just stand around wondering what's going to happen next. Jesus is not physically with the disciples then, nor is he physically with us now. Jesus tells us that we can know him, we can abide in him by loving the way Jesus loved us. In this act of love, Jesus' presence continues to must make Jesus known in our world. We must hear this commandment, take it to heart, and truly love one another, not just as we love ourselves, but as Jesus loved us. That's a high bar. It's a high standard. As Jesus has with them, time with them, this is what he declares is their ultimate responsibility, and it is our responsibility as Christian disciples. We're called to know Jesus, to glorify Jesus, and to follow Jesus. All this is made possible by loving the way Jesus loved. Now, even though the commandment tells us to love the Lord and then to have our neighbors as ourselves, we really, the passage is found in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in Leviticus, and some of the other books. So it's really nothing new. But what is new is love as Jesus, love as I loved you, he says. That goes far beyond the idea of just loving your neighbor, if that makes sense. It does to me. And it's a little bit harder. It's one thing to love your neighbor as yourself and say, okay, I don't like him, but I love him. I say or do to make this person see Jesus and know his love. That's what's new. So loving in the church is not an alternative for loving other ways. We love within our community and without. The disciples certainly loved within their community, and they got a little stuck in that. And so Jesus is calling them out, telling them they have to get on with it. They have to be prepared to be the word, the love of Christ in the world. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Love as I have loved Jesus, regardless of what is happening around us. Survival is found in practicing that love that Jesus calls us to. Survival, that whenever anything is not right, the only thing that we can get onto is survival through the love of Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to work. I don't care what tricks you have or, you know, mantras or whatever. The only solution is Jesus. And Jesus calls us to that love that he has for us and for all. Loving one another as Jesus loves us is not easy, especially in a world that is steeped in anger and arrogance. Anger and arrogance. The world needs the love of Jesus. So I don't often do this, but I also want to say something about one of the other readings, which is the psalm. The psalms, there are 150 psalms, the last I forget how many, are songs of ascents and praise. And these psalms, the ones of ascent especially, were sung or said as pilgrims journeyed to Jerusalem for major festivals, Passover, weeks, and tabernacles. The journey to Jerusalem was seen as an ascent, both physically as well as spiritually. As pilgrims would climb the Temple Mount, some people believe that there were 15 psalms, that the 15 psalms were sung on 15 different steps leading up to the temple. Psalms of ascent and praise. Psalm 148 is a psalm of praise. Interestingly enough, we encounter this psalm in every year, A, B, and C, which is unusual, as you know, with the lectionary. In C, we also hear it during the Easter season. Other times, we hear it on the first Sunday of Christmas. So why do you think that is? What is it about psalms that address God and wonder about God? What those do for you? How many times have you gone to the Book of Psalms and read some of them? Some of them aren't too friendly, but I find that I can learn something from the unfriendly ones as well. This is what I'm up against. This is what I need to conquer with Jesus' love. Psalms identify all our fears and all our joys, and all our questions. Psalm 148 says that all creation is summoned to praise the God of Israel because he has raised up a horn for his people. And just in case you were wondering, I'm sure you've been wondering about this for days. The horn, especially a horn of a bull or a ram, were symbols of strength and power in the ancient world. So the horn of salvation is particularly significant with Jesus being referred to as the horn of salvation in Luke. This emphasizes his role as a savior, deliverer, wielding God's power to save his people. One of the things about this Psalm 148 is that it sticks in my mind. I know it's a place that I can go when I really need to hear the immensity of what it is that God has created and what it is that we are called to do. Take time to read the Psalms. Take time to read the Scriptures. Take time to consider, what does it mean to love like Jesus loved? And how does Jesus love us unconditionally in that way? Amen.